medical purposes, civilian purposes?
They have. Thank you.
What about the Strait of Hormuz? Who's going to be in control of
that? That'll be opened very soon if this works.
How soon? And who's in control of it? Will Iran still be able to control the flow of oil?
Be jointly controlled.
By whom?
Maybe me. Maybe me.
You want the United States to be in
me and the Ayatollah, whoever the Ayatollah is, whoever the next Ayatollah. Look, and there'll also be a form of a very serious form of a regime change. Now, in all fairness, everybody's been killed from the regime.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 24th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And before we get to Trump's latest and perhaps his biggest flip-flop ever, we got some Trump tacoing to discuss, which is the big story we need to talk about. What is happening on the ground? The actions, not the words. And the actions are pointing to a very large U.S. Military deployment to Iran. On March the 25th, the 5,000 Marines should be arriving in the area. These are the Marines that will spearhead some sort of an operation to take Karg Island or to open the Strait of Hormuz, to control the Strait of Hormuz, because we are getting reports which indicate that the Strait of Hormuz is actually opening up, but it is opening up if you pay the $2 million transit fee and if you're not an American or an Israeli-owned tanker. We are seeing the real-time movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, and it looks like those ships are paying the $2 million fee, probably in Chinese yuan. Iran is making some big money now with these transit fees, but that may be one of the goals of the Marines that will be arriving in the area either today or tomorrow. Karg Island, taking and controlling Karg Island, perhaps taking and controlling the Strait of Hormuz. There have been reports claiming that the Marines will spearhead some sort of operation into Iran to find the uranium and to extract the uranium. I don't know how that's going to happen when the United States admits that they don't even know where the uranium is. But anyway, that's one of the operations that is being talked about. There are reports claiming that the United States may be building an even bigger force to take control of some sort of area in Iran, a coastline or a shoreline, and secure some sort of foothold in Iran. And that is where I get to the news of the massive buildup that is taking place and continues to take place for all of Trump's flip-flopping on Iran. We are going to escalate. We are not going to escalate. We're going to obliterate their power plants. We're in discussions for a peace or a resolution. For all of that talk, we have the Marines. We have reports about the 82nd Airborne, which is a rapid response light paratrooper force. We have reports about infantry being deployed to the region. A lot of weapons, a lot of hardware making their way to the area. So a continued buildup while we have this Truth Social post from Trump and subsequent interview with the media where the U.S. president claims that there have been some talks taking place between the United States and Iran, and there could be some sort of a resolution to the conflict, a negotiated settlement. So the actions are a military buildup. That is what we are seeing on the ground. The talk is of some sort of a peace deal taking place. So Trump entered the weekend giving Iran an ultimatum to either open up the Strait of Hormuz or he will obliterate Iran's power plants. Iran called Trump's bluff and they said, you obliterate our power plants, we are going to retaliate and obliterate the power plants across the region. We may even look at the desalination facilities in the region as well. And so we finished the weekend and entered Monday with Trump's Truth Social post pretty much in all caps. So you know it's important if it's in all caps, with Trump saying that there are some talks that have been taking place and will continue to take place. These discussions are progressing nicely. And for this reason, he is calling a 5-day pause to the obliteration of the power plants. 5 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 5 days. That takes us right to the weekend. It also calms the markets. It also tries to push the price of oil down under 100. And by Friday, you could be having a significant U.S. Marine presence and other military forces and military hardware in the region as well, just in time for the weekend where you could get an escalation. That is the pattern. Weekend escalation, weekday de-escalation. That has been the pattern of this conflict. So Trump, he spoke to the media following this Truth Social post, and he said that Iran wants this deal. Iran called him. Iran wants to talk. Iran wants a deal. Trump said that the United States has destroyed, has killed all of the leadership of Iran. So the big problem is that the United States doesn't know who to talk to. But in the same freaking sentence, pretty much the same sentence, the United States doesn't know who to talk to. But Trump says that they're talking to a potential leader that they've picked out. So they've obliterated the leadership, but they're also talking to someone who is the leadership and could be the future leadership. And that person is the Speaker of the Parliament, Mr. Ghalidaf. That's a name that I would bet most people have never heard before. I have never heard before of Mr. Ghalidaf, though he holds an important position, Speaker of the Parliament. He was not one of the people that all of us that have been covering the region from the outside looking in had identified as a key leader. It was the Ayatollah, Larijani, Pezeshkian, Arachi. Ghalidaf is a new name for most of us, though people in Iran and people that are analysts of Iran, expert analysts of Iran, I'm sure. Ghalidaf is a name that they're familiar with. My understanding is that he is actually a hardliner. But Trump is signaling that this could be the guy that his administration is speaking with, and this could be the guy that Trump will pick, because remember, Trump wants to pick the leader of Iran. It's very important for Trump to pick the leader of Iran. This could be the guy that he picks to run Iran. So that is the name that we were given. Ghalibaf. We're in the testing phase, Trump admin eyeing Iran's parliament speaker as U.S.-backed leader. So what does Mr. Ghalibaf say about all of this? What was his reaction to this mention from Trump and the Trump White House? He posted on X, "No negotiations have been held with the U.S., and fake news is used to manipulate the financial and oil markets and escape the quagmire in which the U.S. and Israel are trapped." He had harsher words to say in his post. I won't read you what else he said, but pretty much his message was that we will continue to fight until our objectives are met and the enemy is punished, and the reports about negotiations, well, it's all fake news, and it's being done so that the Trump administration can manipulate the markets. Markets close on the weekend. Let's talk some smack. Market opens on the weekend. Let's talk some peace. That seems to be the trend that everyone is identifying, that everyone is understanding, except the markets. The markets seem to be going along with Trump's messaging, with his apparent manipulation. Though, I have to say, when Trump announced the peace talks, the markets reacted, and the stocks went up, oil went down, and right away, without any hesitation, Iran immediately came out with messages like this message from Ghalibaf, saying that this is all fake. There are no talks with the Trump administration. We have no idea what U.S. President Trump is saying. We have not spoken to him. We have not spoken to the United States about any kind of a peace deal. We have no idea what he is talking about. And when Iran put out this message, Iran officials put out this message, including Arachi, the foreign minister, he said the same thing, no negotiations are taking place. Well, then the price of oil went back up and stocks went back down. We're talking about a $3 trillion swing in the markets in a matter of hours. In a matter of 1 hour, we had about a $3 trillion market swing. So the market is being driven by Trump headlines and Iranian denials. That is what is driving Wall Street, driving the energy markets. So the reports are from the United States, from their side of things, that Pakistan is going to be mediating, though we are also getting reports that Turkey is also trying to mediate these talks that Trump is referencing. And there are some reports which claim that Witkoff and Kushner are actually in Pakistan, and they're waiting for Ghalibaf to show up so they can begin their negotiations. There are other reports which claim that Witkoff and Kushner are allegedly in Pakistan waiting for somebody. They're just waiting for someone from Iran to show up. They're just hanging out in Pakistan, chilling in Pakistan, waiting for someone from Iran to show up. It's dangerous to show up to a negotiation with Witkoff and Kushner, the Grim Reaper. Very dangerous, because whoever meets with Kushner or Witkoff seems to get a missile pointed in their direction from the Trump administration. So it's very, very dangerous to engage in a negotiation with Witkoff and Kushner. We also have reports from Israeli media, from Ynet, where they claim that Khamenei, the supreme leader, actually gave his blessing to Arachi for some sort of a negotiated settlement to this war. And that Arachi actually spoke with Witkoff. It was a secret telephone conversation. Kushner was also present, and Arachi received the consent and blessing of the new supreme leader for a speedy resolution of the conflict, provided that Tehran's demands are met. And Tehran's demands, if this report is to be believed — I don't believe it, but let's just assume that this report is to be believed — if that is indeed the case, then Tehran's demands are very, very different than where the U.S. is at. I've talked about the demands from Iran, and I've talked about the demands from the United States, and both countries remain very far apart from one another. So Trump was asked about the Strait of Hormuz as he was speaking to the media. And Trump's comment, his statement about the Strait of Hormuz, will go down in history as one of the most bizarre out there statements from any president in all of history. Trump said that the Strait of Hormuz will be jointly controlled. When a reporter asked him about the Strait of Hormuz, all of these negotiations taking place, and you're speaking with some sort of leadership in Iran, and things are going well, Mr. President, what's going on with the Strait of Hormuz? And Trump's response was that the Strait of Hormuz could be, will be, possibly be jointly controlled. And the reporter then asked the question, by who? And Trump said, by me? Maybe me? Could be me? Maybe me? I like it. I like that Hormuz. Maybe I'll control it. He said, maybe me and maybe the Ayatollah. Whoever the Ayatollah is, he said. Whoever the Ayatollah is, because he has to pick the next leader. I pick the next leader. Whoever that leader is going to enter into a joint venture, a joint partnership with Trump, and they're going to control the Strait of Hormuz. The two of them, Trump and the current Ayatollah, or the new Ayatollah, they're going to be controlling the Strait of Hormuz. It'll be a partnership. It'll be the Trumpatola. Trumpatola. They're going to control the Strait of Hormuz. That was his statement. Unbelievable. I did not have that one on my bingo card, that's for sure. So Trump held another press conference, and with him was, I believe, Pam Bondi was with him, and also Pete Hegseth was with Trump. And Trump put the blame of the Iran war pretty much on Pete Hegseth. Pretty much blamed Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth, run away, bro. Run away. Yo, bro, Pete Hegseth. Grab your keg, grab your beer, and run away. Resign. Because this thing's about to be blamed on you. Yeah, Trump was like, Hegseth, he wanted to really jump at this war. And Pete Hegseth's like, huh? What? Yeah, Hegseth is going to get the blame, no doubt about it. So Iran is trolling Trump. They claim that there have been no negotiations, nothing has been discussed between Iran and the United States, though they do admit that they are passing messages to each other. This is true. Iran is saying that they're sending messages through a third party, for example, through Egypt, through Qatar, through the UK, and they're passing messages to the United States. The United States is passing messages via Egypt, Qatar, Oman, etc., to Iran. So this is taking place. This is true. Direct negotiations, direct talks, Iran is denying all of this. And they're trolling Trump. The Iran embassy in South Africa, posted on X, the Strait of Hormuz, will be controlled by me and the Ayatollah. And you can see the image on your screen. That is coming from the official account of the Iran embassy in South Africa. So Netanyahu, he said that he has been speaking with Trump, and he is fully on board with these apparent talks and negotiations that are taking place between the United States and Iran. He is in the loop. That is what Netanyahu said. But Netanyahu also said that the strikes will continue. The military operation will continue. Israel and the United States, they actually hit an Iranian gas pipeline. So they attacked a gas pipeline, which is energy infrastructure. So how do you think Iran is going to retaliate? Tit for tat. That has been the way Iran has conducted this war. You strike a gas pipeline, we strike a gas pipeline. But the main message from Netanyahu is that the conflict will continue. We will continue to attack Iran and continue to hit targets. And the United States will continue to attack Iran and hit targets. The United States has a big military buildup. And the five-day pause is just about the power plants. So keep that in mind. When Trump says a five-day pause, it's not a five-day pause on the military activity or the attacks. It's a five-day pause on what he would have allegedly possibly done, which was to go after the Iranian power plants. So that's what he put on pause. He put his warning, his ultimatum on pause, is basically what Trump did. The Israeli publication Ynet is also reporting that Trump may want to end the conflict by April 9th. That may be the day that Trump has in mind to declare some sort of victory, to figure out a way to frame all of this as some sort of victory. That would be 5 weeks of war, which according to Ynet fits with Trump's timeline for this conflict. It also addresses the fact that the markets cannot take much more of this war. Things are looking really bad in the markets. I've talked about energy shortages that are already taking place. And not many people are talking about the bond market. The bond market is not looking so good for the Trump administration. If there's one thing that spooks Trump more than anything else, it is the bond market. So the bond market is signaling that this war is not sustainable. This can't go on much longer, or else the U.S. is going to pay a very heavy economic price. The New York Times put out a report which claims that Netanyahu, he called Trump 48 hours before the initial attack. And basically Netanyahu, he convinced Trump via telephone call to move forward with the assassination of Khamenei, the decapitation strike against Khamenei. Netanyahu sold Trump on the idea that killing Khamenei would lead to a collapse in the Iranian government, and then the Trump administration would have their regime change. And this was information that allegedly Netanyahu got from Mossad. Mossad told Netanyahu, just take out Khamenei. We've got our guys there on the ground as well. You take out Khamenei, the whole thing collapses. We get our regime change by Monday, Tuesday, when the weekend is over. All is good, and we have a new government in place, which is friendly to to us and to the United States. And Netanyahu called up Trump, and according to the New York Times, they sold Trump on this. Trump believed it. He bought into it, even though the New York Times claims that the CIA, none other than the CIA, went against Mossad and Netanyahu's intel. And they said, we don't think that killing Khamenei is going to lead to a quick regime change. But Trump, according to the New York Times, he decided to go with Netanyahu and ignored the CIA, if you want to believe that reporting from the NYT. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Saudi Arabia is now thinking of entering the war against Iran. Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states, according to the Wall Street Journal, have had enough of the strikes into their country from Iran, and now they are considering entering the war on the side of the United States and Israel. Gulf states edge towards joining fight against Iran. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates get tougher on basing and finances. That is from the WSJ. You know, the Gulf states, they are taking pretty much the exact path, or a very, very similar path to the EU states with Project Ukraine. They're getting drawn into this conflict in much the same way that Europe was drawn into the conflict, the proxy war against Russia. Instead of the GCC countries telling Trump enough, no more, close up your bases, leave us alone, we've had enough, they're taking the opposite route, and they're escalating, and they're joining up with the U.S. and Israel, trying to get a quick defeat of Iran in much the same way that the EU joined up with Bidenopoulos and Sullivan and Blinken, thinking that they would get a quick regime change of Russia with Project Ukraine. And once you get on the escalation escalator, just like the EU, the GCC states, it's going to be very difficult to get off the escalation escalator. And look at what happened to Germany and the deindustrialization of Germany. It's going to be 1,000 times worse for the UAE and Saudi Arabia and the GCC states if they get on the escalator with the Trump administration on this one. So this brings us to the very, very suspicious trading that appears to be taking place with oil, with stocks on the weekend, and then on the weekday come Monday, all of it based on Trump's Truth Social posts. We are getting some very, very bizarre and suspicious trades. And the trade that took place on Monday, that took place on the weekend and on Monday, specifically Monday, has a lot of people talking. A lot of people are talking about this trade. Now, some reports claim that these trades took place 15 minutes before Trump posted his Truth Social post about peace talks and negotiations with Iran and the five-day pause. And other accounts claim these trades were made 14 minutes before the Truth Social post went up. Other accounts say 5 minutes before the Truth Social post went up. Doesn't matter whether it was 15 minutes or 14 minutes or 5 minutes or even one day before Trump posted his five-day pause on obliterating Iran's energy infrastructure and alleged peace talks with Iran. I don't think the actual time makes a difference, because I see a lot of people on X debating the time, and they're looking at the charts and saying it wasn't 15 minutes before, it wasn't 5 minutes before, it was 24 hours before, it was 20 hours before. Doesn't matter. Even if it was a day, even if it was 2 days before Trump posted his pause message on Truth Social, something is up. Even the Financial Times is reporting that something is strange with the markets and with traders. Here is the post from the Financial Times, an exclusive. Traders made bets worth $500 million in the oil market about 15 minutes before Donald Trump's post touting productive talks with Iran sent the price of crude tumbling. From the Kobesi letter, is this the best time trade of 2026? At 6:50 a.m. Eastern time today, $1.5 billion in notional value worth of S&P 500 futures contracts were bought. This trade was so large, it sent the entire index plus 0.3% higher that minute. Then 14 minutes later at 7:04 a.m. Eastern time, President Trump announced productive discussions with Iran were underway. By 7:10 a.m. Eastern time, the S&P had added plus $2 trillion in market cap. The $1.5 billion position gained plus $60 million in minutes. And there are more accounts detailing the excellent timed trade, perhaps the greatest timed trade in all of history. Very suspicious stuff going on. Now, I understand the strategy of wanting to keep oil, trying to manipulate the markets to keep oil under 100. I get it, trying to manipulate the markets with headlines and news announcements when the markets open and when the markets close. You don't want Iran's strategy of economic retaliation to work if you're the Trump administration, right? You want to try to keep the price of oil under 100. You want to try to keep the markets as calm as possible, as calm as you can keep them. You are fighting a war in the Middle East. Of course, everyone is very nervous. You have shortages in gas, in oil, in fertilizer, in helium. You have the Strait of Hormuz closed, or at least now the Strait of Hormuz is open, but you have to pay $2 million, and you have to pay that amount in Chinese yuan. So if you're the Trump administration, if you want to continue this war, and if you want your ground forces to invade, which is going to be a massive escalation, you want to try to control the markets as best as possible in information warfare, okay. We can all kind of understand that. It makes sense. But if there is some sort of manipulation taking place because there are people on the inside that know exactly what Trump is going to post and when he is going to post it, and people on the inside or people in the know, let's say people in the know, are making all kinds of money by placing bets 10 minutes or 14 minutes or 15 minutes before Trump posts these things on Truth Social, well, then this is stuff that would make Hunter Biden blush, right? Hunter Biden is watching all of this saying, man, and I was selling art for $500,000. What a chump I am. But Joe Biden is saying 10% for the big guy. Peanuts. Peanuts. Oh, boy. Not good. This is not good. And it's grabbing the attention of a lot of people, this news about the timing of all of these trades. Anyway, I will leave it there. Let's talk about a trade deal. Let's talk about the US-EU trade deal. This was the trade deal that they hammered out at Trump's golf club in Scotland. Perhaps the worst trade deal in all of history. That's what it was dubbed. The worst trade deal in all of history. Not for Trump, but for the EU. Trump made the best trade deal in all of history with the EU. The EU and Ursula, she negotiated the worst trade deal ever in the history of the world. That was the trade deal where Ursula, in order to get lower tariffs, she agreed to $600 billion or $700 billion invested in the United States. EU companies, European companies would invest $600 or $700 billion in the United States. I don't know how she's going to do that, how she's going to order or convince companies to invest in the United States. But anyway, she made that promise, agreed to that. She also agreed to purchase $750 billion in U.S. energy, in U.S. LNG, and she made all kinds of concessions.
she got nothing in return from the United States except a lower tariff, a little bit lower of a tariff rate. That was it. That was it. The worst trade in all of history. Well, fast forward to today, and the United States, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Yes, there is such a position, to my shock and surprise. I forgot the name of the guy who's the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. He's some fast food executive. I believe his name is Putzer or something like that. Putzer, who is a fast food exec. He is now telling the EU it's time to sign that trade deal. It is time to sign that trade deal. The parliament's going to vote on it. And it's time for them to green light it, to wrap it up. And that would make the European Union fully dependent on the United States and especially on US LNG. Interesting timing to all of this, huh? The EU is to pass a trade deal or risk losing favorable access to LNG. That is the US warning. European Parliament set to vote this week on whether to ratify Turnberry Agreement signed last year, the agreement signed in Scotland. Here is a message from the US ambassador to the EU. This is what he told Europe, the EU, ahead of their big vote. Europe's going to need that energy. That's a direct quote. So we need to cut back on the regulatory restrictions to our shipping them the energy and also the regulatory restrictions that make that energy more expensive once it gets here. Europe is going to need that energy. What a statement. Wow. Wow. The timing to all of this, huh? You better sign that deal, Ursula, because we are the only game in town. You have no one else. You don't have Russia. You don't have Qatar. No Middle East. No Strait of Hormuz. You continue to place sanctions on Russia. It is the U.S. That's it. So you have this $750 billion deal that you agreed to in Scotland. It's time to pass it. It's time to sign it. It's time to wrap it up. Because you're going to need the energy. And the EU Commission is urging MEPs to vote through the EU-US deal, despite fresh tariffs. This is coming from Euronews. The European Commission is telling Parliament members, sign it. The European Union, now fully under the control of Trump and his Truth Social posts. It depends how Trump wakes up every day. That is going to dictate for the next 2-3 years the EU's energy security. The energy security now is dependent on Trump's emotions. He may wake up one morning and say, I don't want to export LNG to Europe anymore. And it's very possible he's going to do that. I would put money on Trump doing that. He's going to wake up one day and say, you know, we need the LNG in the United States, so I'm keeping it here. No exports to Europe for 3 months. I can definitely see him doing that. No doubt about it. So the European Union, what they did place in the agreement, which the United States is reviewing, is they placed a time limit. They said that this agreement expires in 2028, in March of 2028. Now, why would it expire in 2028? Because they want it to expire when Trump leaves office. So they actually put that clause in there. So that was an interesting amendment that the EU made. We'll see if the United States agrees to that amendment from the EU. So basically, the Commission is saying, okay, we'll remain a hostage to U.S. President Trump as long as he's in office. The minute he leaves, then this entire trade deal is scrapped. Okay. That is so weak. Man, that is weak. So let's talk about Orban. We got an update on the whole Orban, Siarto, calling up Lavrov
giving him the goods, the info, the inside information as to what is happening in Brussels when they have their meetings. I can tell you what they're discussing. It doesn't need Siarto to talk to Lavrov in order for Lavrov to understand what the EU is discussing during their closed-door meetings in EU headquarters. They're talking about Ukraine. They're talking about Zelensky. They're talking about how much they hate Russia. That's it. That's what they're talking about. Mr. Lavrov, I'll tell you what the EU is talking about. Sanctions package number one, sanctions package number two, sanctions package number three, sanctions package number four, number 20, Russian economy in tatters. Zelensky is cool. Zelensky is great. He's the next Churchill. Putin bad. Tatters, 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 tatters. That's a meeting. That's an EU meeting right there. I've summarized the past 3 years, 4 years of EU meetings. There you have it. So I don't know what secret information Siarto is giving to Lavrov, allegedly. But we have an update. We have an update on this story. So the claim originating from the Washington Post is that Siarto, he calls up Lavrov. And he gives Lavrov information as to what is being discussed during these closed-door sessions in Brussels. That's the allegation. And now the EU is demanding answers from Orbán, and they're now saying that they're going to exclude Hungary in meetings, or they're going to have smaller format meetings where Hungary's not going to be invited. Well, Orbán, he is now opening up an investigation into wiretapping. Now let's get Orbán's side of the story, because this makes things very interesting, and I think I have an understanding of what's going on now. So Orbán found out, and this has been confirmed, by the way. This has been confirmed because the journalist has admitted to this. That's my understanding of the situation. Orbán found out that there is a wiretap on his administration. And this wiretap was put in place by a journalist who is aligned with the opposition party, the TISA party. And the information is allegedly being passed on to the EU or to an EU member state. So now Orbán has called an investigation to figure out what is going on. In an audio file released by Mandinar Panyi, can be heard telling a source how he gave Siarto's phone number to a state organ of an EU country. Panyi then explains that once the agency he spoke to has a person's phone number, they can extract information about who that number spoke to, and they see who is calling that number or who that number is calling. So this journalist gave the number to an EU country, and then the EU country, they started their wiretap. So let me tell you what is happening here, what I believe is happening here. And all of this was revealed in an audio file. That's my understanding of this. And it's not being denied. Later in the audio file, Panyi tells his source that he is a quasi-friend of Anita Orbán, a member of the opposition leader Peter Magyar's TISA party, and Magyar's pick to replace Siarto as foreign minister should TISA win next month's parliamentary elections. Panyi suggests that he has close links to TISA and would be in a position to recommend who should stay or be removed if Magyar takes power. Panyi is editor of V-Square and leads the outlet's Budapest office. V-Square is funded by the U.S. State Department's National Endowment for Democracy, USAID, and two EU-financed journalism funds. Earlier this month, V-Square claimed to have uncovered evidence that election fixers with Russia's military intelligence agency, the GRU, were working in Budapest to swing the upcoming elections for Orbán. Okay, so that's kind of the backstory to this. So what I think is going on is that the EU got wind of Orbán figuring out
that he was wiretapped, that his administration was wiretapped. And so what they did is, in order to beat Orban to the punch, they ran the story about Ciarto having phone calls with Lavrov. That's what I think is going on here, because Ciarto also says that the phone calls are fake news. It's BS. But Orban figured it out. Orban figured out that he was being spied on. And what the EU did, in my opinion, is that they put together this cover story to say that Ciarto, he's calling up Lavrov and he's giving him information, when in fact the reverse is happening. They're listening in on Orban and what Orban is saying, or what Ciarto is saying. That's what I think is happening. Anyway, that's an update on that story. And we also have reports that the EU is now looking at the AfD. They're now claiming that the AfD is possibly leaking information to the Kremlin. The EU has a database of meeting notes and documents, and political parties in Europe, they have access to this EU database. And the EU is now afraid that the AfD, which has access to these documents, could be leaking them to the Kremlin. And the reason that I believe they're running with this story is because of the AfD's rise. They see that the AfD continues to gain traction in Germany, continues to win elections, and they're putting together the Kremlin-Russia story. That's what's happening here. Anyway, let's do a clown world. Well, this has been a long video, and we can wrap up today's video. So today's clown world is another Financial Times article with the title, "It's Always Putin Behind Every EU Migration Crisis." Officials says Russian president is the biggest driver of immigration due to his role in wars over the past decade, says EU commissioner. So the EU is once again blaming Russia and blaming Putin. They're blaming Putin for the EU's migration crisis. Putin, Putin, Putin. Russia, Russia, Russia. Just blame Russia. The European Union, they're going to cancel the April 15th date where they were going to ban Russian oil, or they were going to approve the proposal to ban Russian oil. That was coming up on April 15th. And we are now getting reports which say that the EU has scrapped that meeting. I wonder why. Blame Russia, but you're going to need Russia. You are going to need Russia, and you're going to need Russia very, very bad. That is coming. That plane trip to Moscow for Ursula and Stunning and Brave is right around the corner. It is coming. Yep. And Putin is waiting. He is waiting with open arms. Ursula, good to see you. Come on in. Yeah, so they're scrapping the whole proposal to ban Russian oil. That's not going to be discussed on April 15th. That's the video, everybody, theduran.locals.com. We are on Telegram and X and Rumble. We are also on Substack. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.